I'm going, okay. Sunday morning to 11:23. This is mapping out Satan's high. Huh? Oh, you know, you're right. Well, I did it yesterday. It was 11 yesterday. That's why. All right, 2:12:23. Mapping out Satan's high places. All right. We're going to start in Daniel chapter 10. We're going to continue on with, you know, we've been learning about the office of apostle and the restoration of the apostle to the church and how the church is going to be instructed going forward. All right, Daniel repented of the sins of his people, as well as Nehemiah. There's others too. For it was sins that caused him to be in exile in the first place. Disobedience and sin. Not following the ways of God, but following the Baals. Sound familiar? Just like today. God wants his people to rule and not demonic entities. That's what's been ruling here, really, since the garden. That's when it all started. And this power grab has been going on through all these 6,000 years to present day. And that's what we're experiencing. And this is that last day Armageddon battle that's going to bring down these demonic entities that have pulled the strings all of this time. All right, Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, Daniel was mourning 3 full weeks. Ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So what was Daniel? He was fasting and praying concerning his nation. Now, from the time he was about 15, I believe, he lived in exile, and he never left Babylon. But he interceded for his nation on many occasions. All right, God gave Daniel dreams and visions concerning his nation. He told him the future, not just Israel per se, natural Israel per se, but also spiritual Israel. What Daniel prayed affected us also. When you tend to God's business, he will tend to yours. So many go before the Lord with their petitions, but it's all about what they need or what their family needs or their friends need instead of what God requires. So that's what Daniel, he was coming before the Lord with fasting and praying to intercede for the nation. Lord, what's your plan for the nation? We're in exile because of our sin. Okay. All right, when you begin to say, Lord, what can I do for you, then you're on the right track. In other words, you take care of his business, he takes care of your business. So much of the time, what's the most prevailing thing on our minds? A lot of times it's something to do with ourselves. Our situations, our circumstances. This morning I was thinking before I was came in here, I was thinking about Solomon when the Lord asked him the question, you know, what can I do for you? And Solomon said, I want wisdom to be able to rule your people. And the Lord said, because you didn't ask for wealth and all these things, I'm going to give you what you asked for plus the other things. So that's the attitude. Seeking you first the kingdom. Lord, what, the beginning of your day, Lord, what can I do for you? What would you have me do for you today? Because the church is basically, my need, help me, I need. That's probably the most used word. I need this. I need that. Kind of tells you where you're at, right? Tells you where people are at. I care about my needs getting met. That's what I care. That's why I come to church. And if the preacher doesn't do it for me, then I'll run them off. Is it the truth? All right. David was a man after God's own heart. This is the heart of an intercessor and a spiritual mapper. We're after God's heart. What does that mean? We're after God's will. We're after His plan. We're after, what do you require of us? Not putting ourselves first, but putting His plan, His will first. All right, Nehemiah chapter 1. We're going to start verse 1 there. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, so he's in Babylonian captivity, just like Daniel was. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love Him and observe His commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. This is why they were in exile. The same thing that's going on today. They were in exile because they did what the nations did. I'm going to be teaching Wednesday night about the Babylonian church. This is why they were in exile. God warned them and warned them and warned them and warned them. And He said, 70 years you're going to be there because you wouldn't listen to my voice. You worship Molech and Baal. We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments. Now, he didn't personally do it, did he? No, he didn't. But he was petitioning, he was repenting for his people and their sins. Not the statutes, nor the commandments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech you, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if you transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. That's what Revelation says. He's going to gather them, chapter 7. He's going to gather them from the four corners of the earth. Not that little corrupted hole in the ground, Israel, that they call Israel, the Rothschild operation. No. They're real children of God that are scattered. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. God did not do that over there in 1945 or whenever it was. God did not do that. This TV station out here went rogue, tried to get all the Jews back to Jerusalem. That wasn't God. Sidetracked the light of the Southwest. That was bringing the word of faith and the word of truth out here. You talk about a shocker. When the truth of that comes out, it's going to blow a hole right in the middle of the church because it's always so sacred. Oh, you don't touch the Jews. If you say anything against them, you're anti-Semitic. It's all the devil's scheme and plot. But there's a true remnant, and some of them are Jews. Not the ones that say they are and are not. The Khazarians, which is what Ukraine is. That's Khazaria. That's what's going on over there. And the whole church is running after Ukraine. Oh, we better send donations over there. Let's take up offerings for Ukraine. You might as well be taking them up for the devil. Now, are there innocent people there? Yes. Are people getting hurt? Yes. But most Ukrainian people want to be part of Russia. In fact, they already are. They've always been part of Russia. They've never been their own nation. They weren't properly annexed, and so they never did legalize it. So they're accusing Putin of going in his own territory and cleaning out the corruption. That's what all this Ukraine mess is about. But I don't want to hear that. No, on these Christian news stations, they're talking about, we need to support Ukraine. Let's put that flag over the American flag, which they did, mm-hmm. which was a treasonous act. Congress did that when old Piglosi was in place. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. So what happened? He went before the king and he was just down in the mouth. You know, he could tell he was disturbed. And he asked him, what's wrong? And he told him. So he financed him to go for rebuilding. All right, these prayer warriors were sad because of the condition of their nation. And they didn't have any other agenda or their own business at hand. It was about, Lord, what would you have us say? What would you have us do? Intercede. We pray for our nation. It's in trouble. Thank God he did. And he is. All right. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Our focus on ourselves or circumstances can cause us to put the cart before the horse. Satan will do what he can to distract you from God's business. He's a master at it. We call it chasing your tail. He'll have you like this, like the Tasmanian devil all the time. Always. That's his game. If he can keep you doing that, keep your focus off of going forward and following the Lord and doing what he instructs you to do, you know. All right. Romans 5:17. This is what we're supposed to be doing. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. How do you reign? Well, you got to take ground. That's how you reign. You take things back that have been stolen from you. You reign over them. That's why we've been put here, to reign over. Not like the Khazarians come in and sabotage the Jewish religion and all of that. Not to do evil, but to do good. To occupy means to go into positions where evil has been. And if you can, bring the gospel so those that have been partakers of evil will repent, turn from their sins, and receive Jesus, and they get on board with you. It's not about stamping out anybody. That's God's decision, who needs to be stamped out or who doesn't. All right, this is God's will for us. Satan establishes his rulership over us in three areas: spiritually, politically, and physically. All right, our purpose is to possess the gates of the enemy. Those are the places of authority. This requires seeking the kingdom first, possibly doing some physical research over the area of authority that now possesses the territory. The roots and origin will sometimes tell the tale of what type of territorial spirits is in authority and what sin happened to cause them to be able to capture the gate. So I'm going to give you a few areas here. One is corruption. What is most dominant in the Permian Basin, since that's our area? What's the most prominent thing in the most prominent sin in the Permian Basin? What is it that people have the most problem with in the Permian Basin? Slogans and mottos about the area will tell the tale a lot of times, because Satan's going to have his high places. He's going to have his telltale signs everywhere, because they're all into the Masonic, all into all the symbolism and all the little things. What became of the original people that inhabited the area in the first place? Were they the Indians? Were they slaughtered there on that place? Is there a spirit of murder over this place? You know, think about that. Just because it's no longer in existence does not mean that there aren't spirits that are still there and still operating. All right. I remember back in the 90s, I believe an apostle came into this area. I forget his name. He was a black man. What was his name? Anyway, he spoke over the voodoo spirit at Permian High School. And Sam something. So, just say it. Solens? Was it Sam Solens? Solens or something like that. Anyway, he spoke over that. Broke the spirit of mojo, witchcraft, off of the... They ain't been worth shooting ever since. He recognized as an apostle that there was black magic. Well, if you went to a pep rally, you'd think he's at a seance. That's when I was there. Okay, you got your mojo working? You think mojo is magic? All right. Yeah. All right, four, we must look at the foundation. If we don't, it's like pulling weeds and not getting the root. Okay? They'll just come back. All right? We want to make sure that the axe is laid to the root so we can recover the gate. I mean, they're out lock, stock, and barrel. That's why what's going on in the nation and around the world is taking so long. I heard something yesterday that kind of took me aback. They think there's something like 700 million people that are entrenched all over the world that they're cleaning up, that's still doing it. Now, we're not talking the high dogs. We're talking the middle and lower. And I go, 7 million? Are you kidding? So I don't know if that's right or not, but I'm thinking that's a lot. You know, that's a lot. All right. This is what apostolic teams do. They intercede. They get instructions to map an area, and they go into the area and take out the strongholds. That's how we gain ground. People will never not be free to receive the Word of God unless this is done. See, even Paul's teams went into these Gentile nations, and they began to take out strongholds. So the people were free to hear the gospel. When you go in there and there's a territorial spirit ruling over the city, the people are hardened. And until they're released from that controlling entity over that area, they're not free to, their eyes are blind. Like with the slave girl. Yeah. People will not be free to receive the word unless this is done, because they are being controlled by a demonic entity. And they are in their jurisdiction, if you will. You have to go in lawfully and take out that and replace it. The type of music and architecture is a good sign of the visible cues or clues of Satan's realm. It's all hidden in plain sight. We probably, even in our town, have a lot of Masonic stuff around. We just don't know it because we didn't know what to look for. We might have felt weird about it or something, but we just really didn't know until it began to be exposed that their stuff is everywhere. There's not any place they haven't hit. Okay, especially pay attention to the high places, like Danny had it about the Capitol in Austin. There's a ley line that runs from that Capitol to the federal court that the Lord told me to speak over in Midland. That's over Ector County, Upton, Morden, Pecos. Yeah, so, see, it's all strategic. It's not just a happenstance. And it's not something that's done lightly. This is something that's done deliberately, just like an army sitting down and going, deciding they're going to take in a captured territory. And they're going to sit down and they're going to map out their battle plan and then they're going to execute the plan. That's what we do. The Lord's told us the Permian Basin. So that's what I'm sticking with, is the Permian Basin. I speak that all the ley lines in the state of Texas have been removed. Okay, and also about the sheriffs. The apostles are spiritual sheriffs. The natural sheriffs, they have the most jurisdiction in any county or over the county. They've got more jurisdiction than the federal government in their county. And they can kick them out and they can tell them you can't come here. And so that's my prayer that God will raise them up, get them retrained in constitutional law, which is based on the Word of God. And so you'll have your apostles working and you'll have your natural lawmakers that will stand up and enforce their full jurisdiction in every county. See, it's spiritually and naturally. Because the Lord said, if it's not done in the spirit, it isn't going to be done in the natural. It's just a pipe dream. If you don't take out that entity, you won't be able to take out that person or whatever, or that, whatever, what do you call that, government, that local government or county government. All right. Okay, let's keep going. Romans 1. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest to them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible men or man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This is happening even here. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women had changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Same agenda everywhere. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So this is what we're facing in every government, whether it be a local and state government, the individual counties through our state. Same old spirit, working the same old agenda, spouting the same old narrative, unless we change it. All right, I want to have a look. We're not going to go through all of this because we went through this several years ago. What I want you to see, if you remember, they've got their symbols and their ley lines, see, this everywhere. Washington, D.C., okay, is laid out so the gardens and streets form the image of an owl, you know, Bohemian Grove. This owl is representative of the mystical goddess Lilith. So, but everything is strategically mapped out that way, and it's not just that way in D.C. I can guarantee you, Odessa, Texas, and Ector County are mapped out. They got their ley lines running all through everything. So we have really got our work cut out for us. We're being led by the Spirit. We'll do what God's told us to do, and we'll move from there. All right? We know we have our work cut out for us as the Holy Ghost leads us. To tear down strongholds on a personal level, we must close any holes we might have in our armor. In the Scriptures, our spiritual warfare, it also enlightens us about relationships, having everything in divine order so Satan has no doorway in. You better have these doors closed when you start doing this. Or you'll be like the seven sons of Sceva. The devil will turn on you. Now, Ephesians 4, 1 through 32 talks about divine church, order in the church. Chapter 5 gets into the home, and chapter 6 really gets into ministry. Before you put on the whole armor of God, you have these orders. Everything's decently and in order. All right? If you want to read those this week, Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. All right, these things must be in order to do the warfare needed to take out these satanic high places. We must be able to claim redemption from this curse. See, we've got to have our doors shut. We have to be guileless. For us to say, you can't bring that curse here. Curse causeless cannot come to rest here. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Therefore, we loose this place from this curse in Jesus' name. All right, here's a checklist there before going in and doing this kind of thing. First, you're not carrying any offense. No offense. Next, our attitude. Why are you doing what you're doing? Critiquing others, criticizing others. Are you depressed? See, these things need to be in order. Anything that you can think of that would cause the devil to get in and choke out your ineffectiveness towards what you're speaking against. I mean, even what we're doing, which is really a pretty small part, we got to watch our attitudes. We got to watch the things we say. We got to stay in love, stay out of offense. Even against yourself. Quit beating yourself up. I think I cleared that up a while ago. All right. When all doors are shut, the enemy cannot come through them. See? Under God's government, you become government property. We have to view it that way. It's just like the military. You're government property when you're in the military. We're in God's army. We can rely on Him to show us what to do in each situation. We're looking for His instruction because, frankly, you know, the first inkling that I even had of anything like this, I was called to jury duty over there at that federal court. And I griped and I griped and I griped. I didn't want to go. I tried to get out of it. Just wasn't happening. And I had to go sit there. I think it was 3 or 4 hours. Didn't get picked. And when I was leaving, the Lord said, well, I took you over here today so that you could spiritual map this federal court. We'll just speak over it. Like, couldn't you have told me that 4 months, all those weeks ago? I agonized over this and grabbed to complain and didn't want to go. Why didn't you tell me before? He had a purpose. Yeah. Anyway, on 12/23/22, the Lord spoke to me. that he is allowing all the discomfort and the hardness to train us so that whatever situation we find ourselves in, we will act appropriately. Isn't that what a good first-class soldier does? Yeah. The mental level is very important, for Satan is always trying to run his mind games on us. He's trying to get your focus off. He's always, look over here, not over here. Map this court. But our kids. But our money. But they didn't do it right. But I don't feel like it. Just add your butt there. I don't mean B-U-T-T. I mean B-U-T. But God. But daughter, but son. All right. Satan and his mind games. It's to keep us off of the right track. In this book, one of the books I read by C. Peter Wagner, he quotes a man that was an apostle. I don't know if he's still with us or not, but his name was Eduardo Savoso, and he made this observation. I'm quoting him. A stronghold is a mindset impregnated with hopelessness that causes the believer to accept as unchangeable something that he or she know is contrary to the will of God. We must seek unity to take out strongholds, one band, one sound, from the leadership down. All right, Psalms 133, that's the one about, you know, the anointing poured on Aaron's beard, ran down to the hem of his garment there, that, you know, about unity of the whole body of Christ. It's over the whole body, and we're in unity. All right, pastors working with one another instead of competing with one another would be a great start. Yeah. Sometimes it takes a crisis like the Great Awakening process to break down and get rid of strongholds. When people are in crisis, they will call out to God. That's why they're doing this the way they're doing. See, this is God's plan. We need to never forget that. Well, the generals are this and the generals are that. Or the Q team or the whatever. No, never forget who's the big dog here. The general of all generals. The captain of this host is Jesus. We're following in his footsteps. If it takes a while, because there's so many people that are just clueless. I mean, we ought to realize ourselves in our training, we've had to have some pain and endurance to get us from where we were to where we're going. It's pretty effective treatment. It does work. Okay. So how do we as a team infiltrate the stronghold over our city and take them out? Unity and leadership, especially pastors. It's going to take, well, I believe God, and he's told us, basically, that he's raised up teams all over that we don't know about yet. And maybe at some point we will work together with those teams. But right now, all we know is us. And they all have their parts. And when you put all the parts together, it makes a whole. Okay? Waiting on God's timing and getting exact instructions. Delivering individuals from strongholds will weaken the enemy. Getting people's minds renewed as much as possible. To me, that's the biggest thing. This whole nation, this whole world, if the gospel was going forth the way it's supposed to be going forth, and God's true gospel going forth, people's minds being renewed, there's most the problem there. Satan will no longer have a place in their life. He won't, about not feeding the beast. Yeah. All right. This is key. Romans 5:17 is our mission statement. Jesus himself sent out teams in his ministry. He sent out teams. First disciples, then apostles. Okay, Luke chapter 10. Is this making sense to y'all? Okay. We're doing our part. We're not expected to do anybody else's part, just our part. All right, Luke 10:17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. So what were they doing? They were going in, going around Jerusalem, and they were bringing the gospel, freeing people from the enemy. The more people you got that believe in Jesus and believe in the gospel and all those things, the less of the enemy is going to be working in the midst. It's all a process. If the Spirit leads you, fast and pray. Know the area that you are infiltrating. Ask God for the names of the entities over the strongholds you are confronting. Pray thoroughly over the strategy you've been given to take out the stronghold. Don't be hasty, but thorough. Always remember, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It's always big he over little he and she. The devils believe and tremble. They are terrified of you when you have God's plan. They know they got to go. Kind of like the demoniac. Oh, would you send us into the pigs? They were afraid Jesus was going to send them to the pit right then. Anywhere is better than there. Think of it. Anyway. In some cases, some will go and some will stay and pray. Kind of with David. Those that stayed with the stuff got the same reward as those who went. Okay. Actual prayer over territorial spirits will be done by those with the legal authority or birthright. And I mean that by local leadership. God has placed people over certain jurisdictions, and they have the authority to speak. We're not always the one that will be speaking. God may be showing us different things that we're doing behind the scenes, but there may be an ultimate speaking of an entity of someone in authority that God's given the authority to do so. All right. When engaged in this warfare, pray for the protection of the whole team. Pray Psalms 91. 1,000 may fall on our side, 10,000 at our right hand, and it shall not come near us. Always wait on God's timing. God must always be with us. Jesus himself cast out devils by the finger of God. So everything that we're supposed to do here, it's all got to be led by the Spirit. Lest you find yourself rent. When you start going into these territories, this isn't a game. This is serious. You know, and these things are nasty. Just plain and simple. So we just need to be led by the Spirit. I know there's times when I do my confessions and I don't really get anything other than what I just read. But sometimes he'll tell me something to say and to speak. I know it happens to y'all too. So, and sometimes it's just that one time and I never say it again. So, let the Holy Spirit lead you. That's, to me, that's the most effective thing that we can do.